All right, let us move on to item 8, which is the presentation of our annual disability retirement report. Good morning again.
All right, so we are presenting the annual disability report that's going to cover 2019 through the whole of 2023. The last time we gave a report would have been back in October, which was just through June of 23. So this is to complete out the year. Move on to the next slide. So on this Exhibit 1, you'll see this is our disability retirement applications. It says received for the year, but I think we might look at maybe changing that word to accepted in the future. And Elise is going to go through a little bit more detail as to why that distinction might be important. But if you look at it, you can see we've had in 23, we had 30 service-connected disabilities and one non-service, which is generally in line with the year prior, although there was a drop in our number of non-service disabilities from 22 to 23. And then for Exhibit 2, this is broken down into applications received by employer. And we did want to note there is a little bit of a decrease from the San Ramon Valley fire, which I was made aware that we had some staff had a discussion with them based on some what we felt like was high filings from them, and that number is now dropped. It's obviously kind of a small sample size, 7 to 4, but that does represent a little over 40% drop from them. And then for Exhibit 3, it's now broken down by county department. And again, looking at it from year to year, it's fairly consistent with what we expect and what we've seen in the past from them. And then now on Exhibit 4, we've got the total disabilities filed by the actual type of condition. And again, what we note here is that for what's listed as GII, which is, you know, things like diabetes and internal organ, that kind of stuff, which we typically see more with non-service connected disabilities, has dropped from 5 in 22 down to 1 in 23, which again we think coincides with the drop in non-service applications that we received for the year.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Next is me. So on the next page, Exhibit 5, this page is showing you injury type by employer. There was a slight uptick in musculoskeletal applications for CONFIRE, but I looked through those applications and there's really no notable trends or similarities between the injuries themselves. And between those six applications from last year, I think the average years of service for those CONFIRE employees was 28 years of service. So I think just a lot of wear and tear on those bodies. Oh, and I didn't switch, sorry.
That's okay. One more.
excuse me. So on this page, it's showing injury by type, but this time broken down by county department. There really was no remarkable increase or decrease in applications in 2023, and everything was pretty much in line with what we typically see for county department applications.
Can you go over the, I'm sorry to interrupt
mm-hmm,
you, but,
no problem.
But the San Ramon Valley discussion was mm-hmm. was kind of brief and just touched on. What was the nature of the discussion with them regarding the musculoskeletal spike?
So I believe in 2022, I think we were noticing, I off the top of my head, I don't know how many, but I think there were several applications that came in where the injuries were sustained while working out, like in the training facility or like their workout room at work. So I believe that the discussion, one, we just came to them to say, hey, we're noticing this. And we noticed that there are a few applications where the injury specifically came from the workout room. Can you look into it? So I don't know if they had a meeting and said, let's be more cautious while you're working out. I don't know what the crux of the discussion was with their members, but that is basically where Cicera, as far as Cicera stepped in just to say, hey, we noticed this. So who knows actually whether or not that's the reason for the drop down, or maybe but that's what we're drawing parallels to.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah, I just didn't, you know, it was just touched on. I wasn't sure what the, you know, what the outcome was, other than that the number surely dropped. And you can see that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just an interesting anomaly.
Yeah, potentially. And I mean, and I think as the pension provider, I don't know how much pull we or say we really have in any employers and what they're doing, other than to just bring it to their attention and then hope that they are making some sort of changes that they see fit.
Well, I mean, it sounds like we saw what we thought were an unusually high, maybe that's mm-hmm. the wrong word, we saw a high number of disability applications based on injury in the workplace that was not the direct result of an emergency response, right?
Right.
It's the short version.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, it seems like if we do anything with audit and data points, then we ought to at least ask the questions associated with it to understand it, right?
Right, absolutely. And as you can see, you know, even from the years prior, I mean, last year was just an unusually high year specifically for San Ramon, because I think back in 2019 there were two again for 2020, none for 2021, and then all of a sudden that yeah. spike at seven. So it was just unusually high. But again, we're
yeah. And you can see, like with the Contra Costa number, it's very stable, right? Predictable, right? It stays in the same range, mm-hmm. up or down a little bit here, but it's roughly the same type of number. So
right,
okay. Well, I mean, for what it's worth, I think we should be encouraged to ask in right. those situations, right? And to want a response, whether it be formal or informal. I would think, I mean, I don't want to put an underline under formal, but I think if you raise those questions with the district, you're entitled to a formal response in the sense of them taking it and giving you something back that makes sense.
Right. That makes okay. sense. I agree. Thank you. We are on page 7, which is Exhibit 6. These are safety disability applications, so it's broken out by Sheriff's Department and then also by combined fire districts, so Confire, San Ramon Valley, and then also Moraga-Orinda Fire. in this, it's broken down by average years of service, position title, and then also broken down by injury type. One addition to each of these graphs that I do want to point out is the addition of the applications granted line. This is the percentage of accepted applications that were granted over the 5 years. I do want to point out that this does not take into account any of the applications that are deemed not acceptable at the staff level. So there's a lot of applications or conversations with members that I take, or Prashanthi, the other disability specialist, take, where we're letting members know based on the medical documents they're turning into us, or over the discussion, you know, the discussion that they may be having regarding whether or not they should turn in a disability application. We're determining at that point that they're not eligible for whatever reason. So, especially, I think, with sheriffs, I think the applications granted number seems a little bit high, but like I said, it doesn't take into account all the applications that were essentially turned away for various reasons at the staff level.
Is that number useful to, and I don't even know if it can be reported, but is it useful to track for context? I don't think people have a sense, or certainly, I don't have a sense of this in terms of how many incomplete or not sufficient applications you get, what that process is, you know, because I think all we obviously fixate on the final numbers and,
right.
and what the trends are. But the backstory is a lot more robust, it seems like, in terms of what that process looks like.
Right. I don't know whether or not, I mean, it may suit curiosity. I don't know what use maybe it has. I mean, the only trend that I, as a disability specialist, see that I feel like maybe could be useful in tracking how many is the number of applicants that come to us after being on leave for a long time and then meeting with their employer who's trying to get them off of leave, get them back, get them somewhere, so terminated or whatever the case may be. I do get quite a few applicants that are told by their employer, well, if you can't come back to work, you can do disability, and they come to us almost under the assumption that this is just the typical next step, not realizing it's not as easy as just applying and getting it. You have to meet certain qualifications. So I think, maybe keeping an eye on, what departments, those are coming from, that perhaps that might be useful in reaching out for some training with some of, the HR staff in what the disability process is. And it's not just a, call Sarah and you can get a disability, which sometimes is what it seems like based on the calls that we're getting or the members that are coming to us. So aside from maybe that, I don't know that tracking would really be useful in any other way.
Do we do any institutional training now? Maybe I should know the answer to that, but I don't, in terms of employers on these points?
Not since I've been in the position, so in the last 2 years or so, no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would be concerned if there was a pattern or practice of employers believing they can just say, well, if door A didn't work, just go over there and door B. Yeah, I mean, that's not how the system works. And they,
right.
And they should know that, I think.
Yes, I agree.
I guess the question becomes, how is it they come to know that, right? If it's not intuitive to the agency or part of their structure or training, then I guess... then somehow it needs to get elevated to be a thing.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that can be something that we look into.
Okay.
And if I can just add something, I know that's not necessarily related, but along those lines, we're looking at having our first employer workshop summit where we bring employers on site and we do a half day of training. So that's a topic we can definitely include. Right now we're gathering topics, and in August we'll be... before August, but August will be the date that we have this, and within the next couple months, we'll be inviting employers to this. So we'll definitely pencil that in as a topic that we want to bring up with them.
Oh, and staying on the slide, can we, how did we settle on going under fire here, firefighter, paramedic, how that got broken out into a breakout? Because firefighter, paramedic is a very specific rank and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of jumped out at me, because firefighter, paramedics, I'm just guessing here, they probably make up about 20% of the frontline personnel, but that 59% definitely jumps out. So I don't know if it was meant to say firefighter engineers as opposed to firefighter, paramedic.
So I think, so maybe a little more training on my end. So I think for these lines, that one in particular, I'd have to go back through my spreadsheets, but I believe that is including firefighters, firefighter engineers, mm-hmm. firefighter, paramedic. I mean, in those, and I've seen each of those as separate jobs, mm-hmm. as separate titles. So maybe my own understanding.
Yeah, just looking at this, and it was like, maybe we need to talk about why these firefighter medics are getting hurt. But no, it's just...
So the firefighter / paramedic, that is essentially all-encompassing. Okay. A firefighter engineer, somebody who has a title of just firefighters, or somebody who has a title of firefighter / paramedic, which I do realize is its own separate title.
Okay.
So that is all-encompassing, which it sounds like that makes sense why it's a higher number, because it's not strictly the firefighter paramedic
right.
title.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're John. Still on questions. almost all of the questions, in fact, all the questions, and I think the report, you might look at as only dealing with the numerator in a fraction. So if you're talking about a percentage of something, what we're talking about is an underlying assumption that the numbers, the gross numbers, so the denominator each year, doesn't change or doesn't change materially. And these would be perfectly appropriate, of course, if that's the case. If you have a significant change in the population, either increase or decrease, and you have a corresponding change going in the other direction in the number of disabilities, not knowing that could have a very significant impact on recognizing what we're looking at as a trend in disabilities. And my point really in raising it here, and I really thought of it as all the various questions came up, is to give some thought to whether or not there's some part of this report that could deal with the denominator as well. And maybe the denominators overwhelmingly are in essence the same. They change so little that it really doesn't have an impact. Anyway, that's in the line of a comment more than a question.
Noted. Thank you. And I got one more. Any more questions before I move on?
I'm looking around. Oh, Jerry, yes.
Yeah, one other thought on the training. I don't know to what extent we're probably not really advised to say it's mandatory training when you send out these invitations. But is there a way that we could encourage people or say that it's strongly recommended or something to try and increase attendance? Because something tells me that there'll be some people that will put this pretty low on their list of priorities, and they may be the ones that we want to talk to the most. So,
yeah, and that's why I do want to get a save the date out within May, give them at least 90 days. We're going to be talking about the new pension system, so hopefully that brings some interest. Right. And providing lunch. So sometimes that can go a long way.
I guess the thought I have was, is there a way also to kind of track the signups for this and maybe follow up even with individual contacts and say, we notice you're not signed up for this. We'd really encourage you to, I'm not picking on San Ramon, but we notice San Ramon Fire is not coming and we'd really like to have a rep there. What can you do about that? Something to try and pad that attendance figure.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on doing that. And because we're going to do an RSVP in order to know how many people we're feeding, that will encourage those RSVPs to come in so that we can reach out to them before we get to that point and find out, are you planning on coming, so that we can get a full head count. But yeah, we're going to try to encourage at least a couple representatives from every employer and hopefully some from the different departments within the county, because the county is so large.
It could be progressive invites. You're invited. We notice you haven't signed up. We're taking names. You know, that's kind of a progressive discipline thing. You know?
We're luring them with food is what we're doing. I like it, though. It's old school. All right. Any other questions?
Oh, I did have one. So
we did
have a
cancer-related end of 2023, and I didn't see that one.
They are not included I think we had two last year, and they were not. They went through the active death process and not necessarily a disability process, so we didn't include them in the disability numbers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
One more slide, and I'll let you go. So Exhibit 7 a new report has not been, has not previously been on one of the disability reports. So this is the underage 55 review in compliance with the continued testing for benefits policy. Essentially what the policy is directing us to do is to reach out to employers of disability recipients who are under age 55, reach out to employers and determine whether or not they would be willing to reinstate those members, at which point, depending on their answer, we would then send the member out to undergo a medical evaluation to determine their disability status at that time. And then depending on what that outcome is, the member would be required to come back to work. So the data on the screen in front of you is that latest review that we did towards the end of 2023. That is it from me.
Okay.
But I'm open to questions. If you
so at the risk of micromanaging, I think that last point that Samson made regarding the cancer death scenario, mm-hmm. and that it's actually an active death item, and there mm-hmm. were two of those, it might be worth a footnote okay. somewhere. I mean, just to capture it and to sort of address that. I mean, it's not obviously not a significant item, fortunately, but it's probably useful to have it noted. If right. it, you know, and if it doesn't work, that's fine. But it might be helpful.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Again, not trying to write your report or micromanage it.
Yeah.
It was just
it
based on the question.
At one point, it sounded kind of wavered back and forth. Well, it's very technically, you know, wasn't going through the disability process versus this, but. We could always, yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Drop a footnote, because technically that process creates a disability for a very short, often, period of time, mm-hmm. right? That's what it does. So it's actually, for that point, however long it is, hours,
right?
It actually is a disability, correct? Yeah, so.
Well,
I think.
To clarify, there's two types of active deaths. You will. One is a disability process, which is probably the one that you're referring to, Scott.
Yes.
And that is where there's an option to pre-election and a disability process. That is a disability. That is a non-service connected disability. I assume that's in here in this report. If we had any non-service connected disabilities with an option to active
yes.
deaths, that is in this report, correct?
If we had one, I would have to go back
right.
and look through. If we had one, then it would
so
be
that's
yes.
one type. And the other type is a death benefit for which you need to make sure that the member would have been eligible for a disability. That is not a disability benefit. And those are not in this report. Those are death benefits.
And that was the scenario that you asked right. about, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Separate item, a
yeah.
couple meetings.
So those
okay.
are not disabilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So let me reverse what I said. At the risk of having waded into the micromanaging business, basically, thank you for the clarification. So, I don't see much utility in calling that out because it's not a, quote, it's not a disability within the sense of the term. So. Okay. I'm glad we had that conversation. All right. Any other thoughts or comments? Anybody else want to wade in?
You're in by yourself.
Hearing none, thank you. Thank you both.
Perfect. Thank you so much.